Psalm 119:11 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." And that's really what it boils down to, is helping these kids to grow up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And some of them don't really know a lot of the Bible yet. And, you know, that's, it's been a real treat and a blessing to watch them to go from knowing very little to knowing a lot. And you know, just hearing them talk about some of the Bible stories, it's been a real blessing watching them grow up in their knowledge of the Word and applying it. Like I said a minute ago, Jesus said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." And ultimately, that's what it boils down to, is God's design for our spiritual growth is his word. And our spiritual walk with him rises and falls with the amount of time we spend with him. It's like any relationship. You know, they tell you in a marriage conference, fight for date night, right? Spend time together. You get busy, you have a bunch of kids, you got to spend time together. It's no different with our relationship with our Heavenly Father, right? We have to spend time with him. And so we're hoping to help these kids to begin some good habits where they find the benefit of spending time in the Word and getting to know God through his Word. Yes. We desire the sincere milk of the Word that we may grow thereby. It's not just learning the stories, really. It's really beginning to trust God through them, right? I mean, we can know the stories, but if we don't know the God behind the story, it's really not what we're after. You know, most of you don't know my testimony. Some of you do that I've gotten to know a little bit better. But, you know, I was much like Cameron and Madison today. You know, I went to church for a very short time as a young person. We went to a Baptist church, and I made a profession of faith, and I got baptized, and, you know, did the whole thing, and I would have called myself a Christian for a long time. And one day I realized, much like they did, that, you know, I had not truly been born again. And you say, well, what made the difference? Well, it was this very thing, is I came across somebody that taught the Bible as one having an authority, right? Rather than words on a page, it became something that was real to me, where you teach the Bible word for word, it means exactly what it says, to exactly who it's written to, in the context that it was written in. And when you begin to appreciate that, it changes things. And the Bible begins to do the job that it is to, you know, draw us to Christ. It is our schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. And so my testimony is very much a reflection of what we're trying to get out of these kids. We're trying to get them to a place where they appreciate God and his word, and they fear him in a reverent way. And they appreciate what he says, and they desire what he desires for them. You know, kids, we're very proud of you guys and the work that you're doing. You guys come to Master Club on Wednesday nights, and you bring your book and you bring your vest, and they're all excited about the work that they've done, and they're excited to bring us their books and to have us check off the memory verses that they've worked on that week. And you guys have been very diligent, and we really appreciate the work that you're doing there. I just encourage you to continue to do that. Some of you are coming back next year. Some of you are not. But I hope that the time that you've spent in God's Word is something that makes you have that desire to continue, even outside of Master Club, that you take the time and open your Bible and you get to know God through his Word. Ask Mom and Dad for help when you need it. But ultimately, it's our responsibility as students, right, to open up our book and do our work at home. Don't lose your book. Make sure you know where it is every Wednesday when you bring it back to class. You have all your work done. Mom and Dad can help, but ultimately it's your responsibility, right? You have to be on top of your work. Amelia, we'll see you back next year too. Amelia was a real blessing when she was in there. Like I said a minute ago, our relationship with God rises and falls in the time we spend with him. Don't ever let that go. You know, I was blessed, Riley. We moved Riley, my third daughter here that played the piano, into her own room recently, and she had written on her mirror some reminders to herself, and one of them was to read the Bible, you know. And I hope you do that, Riley. And I know she has. She's been making an attempt to be better at spending time in the Bible because it is so, so important. It's one of the most neglected things in the American church. Prayer and Bible reading is very, very neglected. And I'll talk about some of that as we go on here tonight. You know, the Bible teaches even Jesus rose up early in the morning and he went out into a solitary place to pray. And if the God of the universe had to have that time, we sure do. And I encourage you to make time to do that and form those good habits. And then for the parents, you know, we realize as Master Club parents ourselves, we've been doing this for 9 years now. Kippy and I were just talking about this last night as I was putting the finishing touches on these notes. And 9 years is a long time. It's a lot of work. Especially when you have multiple kids, and let's face it, we're all busy. Some of them are in school. There's a lot of things going on. They come home, and sometimes we forget about it. Sometimes we, you know, there have been many, many times we're running out the door, cramming Master Club down their throat, wondering if they're getting it. Like, what is the point of this if all we're doing is forcing it down their throat 5 minutes before they have to repeat it to their teacher? But I promise you that it does pay off. John said in 3 John 1:4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And, you know, my girls got up here this morning and sang, and it's such a payoff, you know. It's such a payoff. It's worth the effort.
Yes, sir.
You know.
Yes.
Kippy was out one week this year, and so I was teaching the Bible story in our first, second, third grade class. And I'm pretty sure I got the details of this story right. The spirit of it is right. But I was teaching the story of Noah and how they came off the ark and they, you know, Noah made a sacrifice. And I pointed back to the garden where Adam and Eve sinned. And, you know, I told the kids as they're sitting there, I said, you know, and God killed a lamb and dressed them in lamb skins, right? Because they were naked. And Annabelle chimed up. She said, well, Dad, we assumed that they were lambs. The Bible doesn't say. I said, well, honey, you're right. But it's a pretty good assumption there. So, you know, little things like that, you know, they're getting it and she's growing and learning. And, you know, it's times like that. And like this morning when they get up and it makes it all worth it. Paul exhorted us, Galatians 6:9. He said, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And that's a promise, right? He says we shall reap. He doesn't say you may. He doesn't say it might. He says we shall. And that's a promise that we can hold on to as parents. You know, we're on our fourth kid in Master Club. It's a lot of work besides, you know, at-home discipling and all the things that we do. So I understand. I just encourage you as parents, and I know some of you are grandparents doing this, right? You're round two here in the time where it's a little bit harder. I just encourage you to put the time in. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's eternal. It's an eternal difference. There's a value here that lasts forever. And of all the things that we neglect, it's one of those things that we should strive to make a priority. You know, Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, kids didn't get a vote. It's up to us as parents to decide what we're going to make important in our homes. You know, it's our job as parents to raise them up. The church is here to equip us. You know, we come to church. Church is, you know, primarily for saved folks, right? It's for the equipping of the saints. Ephesians 4. It's for the work, equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. You know, we come here to get fed, and the pastor does an amazing job of that, teaching us the Bible, helping us to draw closer to him. Why? So we can go out and do the work of the ministry. The work of the ministry happens outside of these walls primarily, except for when it comes to our kids. There is no greater work of the ministry than it'll happen with our kids. It is by far the most important thing. You know, it's easy. You know, my wife's a stay-at-home mom. Sometimes she struggles like a lot of stay-at-home moms do with value, you know, because we go out with coworkers or whatever and they've got all these career moms and they've got all these what seem like wonderful things. But listen, there's nothing more important than this. You know, it is the most important. I don't care what you do in ministry. If you don't take care of your kids first, you're missing out. It is the most important ministry any of us will ever have. You know, as a dad, I feel great accountability. You know, God makes us the head of the house. The world looks at that and calls it chauvinistic. You know, they look at us, they look down on us that these women aren't liberated or something, like we're you know, lording over our wives. But really, it's a matter of accountability more than anything.
Yeah.
You know, I'm the head of my house. The buck stops here, all that. But when it's all said and done, I'm ultimately responsible for the spiritual well-being and the spiritual growth of my children. Now, I'm very fortunate, which is why you young men that aren't married yet, be very careful who you yoke yourself to. Because I know when I leave, I travel some for work, I'm gone. I know my wife's taking care of the kids spiritually when I'm gone. We're careful what they watch. We're careful what they listen to. We're careful who their friends are. But ultimately, that falls on me, right? I'm going to stand before God one day and give an account. And all of you are. You know, my kids are going to stand. I tell them all the time. You're going to stand before God one day by yourself. Pastor's not going to be with you. Daddy's not going to be with you. Mama's not going to be with you. You're going to stand there and give an account for the walk and the relationship that you had and the decisions that you had with him. But ultimately, that's up to us as parents to guide them and lead them and to train them up in the way they should go. You remember the story of Eli? You know, he had his two wicked sons that did all those terrible things at the gate, Hophni and Phinehas. And, you know, God judged Eli. Why? Because he restrained them not. You know, there's things that we have to do as parents, and I just hope that you all feel that same burden to disciple and minister to your kids and to train them up to have a relationship with you. I will ask you to turn over to Deuteronomy 6 for 1 minute, and I promise I'm getting close to done. I'm going to read a passage to you, and just for the sake of time, I'm going to stop along the way and just kind of share some thoughts about some of these verses to you. Deuteronomy 6, verse 6, he says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." You know, I look at that verse, and I ask myself, is my house like that? What is the Lord trying to convey in that verse? You know, Christianity isn't something we do on weekends.
Amen, brother.
Right?
That's right.
You know, we've heard the saying, more is caught than taught. You know, we can cram Christianity down their throats, and we can teach them, we can bring them to church, but you know, if we're not living out our faith in front of our kids, it's kind of two steps forward, one step back. I encourage you, just like this verse, that, you know, Christianity should permeate our life. It should be interwoven into every fabric of what we do on a day-to-day basis. There should never be any question that we walk the walk. We talk of them when we sit in our house, when we walk by the way, when we lie down, and when we rise up, and verse 8, he says, "Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." It sounds like God wants us to make him a part of our home. Something that our kids and people that visit even can see. And I don't mean, you know, fancy sayings on the walls. I mean the walking with the Lord. You know, the spirit of our home and our kids seeing that God is real to us. You know, that Christ isn't something that we relegate to the weekends and, you know, that gets in the way of our fun. That Christ is really at the core of everything that we do.
Amen.
Verse 10 says, "And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." You know, this is one of those places. You remember Obama got in trouble for some of that. You didn't build that. Well, here's one of those. It's a Bible verse that would have gone real handy with that saying, because Israelites were given some things. They were blessed. They were inherited a land that had everything done for them. They had rest. And what does God warn them of? He says, "Beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." You know, the warning there in verse 12, I think, speaks to a lot of American Christianity. Right? We're so prosperous here. I tell my kids sometimes, and I've told Kippy, that best thing that happened to the American church is some persecution. Because it'll push us closer to God than we've been in a long time. You know, our country is headed in a direction that it's either... We need an awakening, or otherwise it's just going to continue to slide down. But, you know, everything that God has given us, we have so many distractions. We have so much going on. We are so busy. We've got Netflix. We've got our girls do ballet. My wife and I have the things that we like to do. Everything that gets in the way of the main thing, which is our relationship with God. And it's the one thing, if you think about it, it's the one thing that we neglect first, right? We run out of time at the end of the day. It's, oh, I won't do my Bible reading. I won't do my praying or whatever it may be. And I just encourage you, as I encourage myself, because this is something we all struggle with. Look, I'm just as convicted as I hope you are when it comes to this, especially as, you know, as a dad that, you know, I need to be in the Word and setting an example for my kids and not let life get in the way of teaching them at home. And, you know, if we find ourselves too busy, sometimes we have to ask ourselves, what do we need to give up? If we have to give something up, if we're so busy that we can't disciple our own kids, something's got to give, right? And I just, you know, I ask you to prayerfully consider what they may be. You know, our kids will know if God's real to us. If it's just something that we say and not something that we live, all the Bible teaching in the world ain't going to help. We should always strive to be transparent, of course. You know, something else I say from time to time is we never outgrow our need for the gospel.
Amen.
You're never going to arrive. We don't ever want to put on airs as parents that we've got it all figured out.
Right.
I need forgiveness just as much as they do.
Amen.
But when it's all said and done, it's where do we turn? Right? When we mess up, we make a bad decision, when we're feeling down, we all go to the same place. We come boldly to the throne of grace and find help in time of need, right?
Amen.
And so we have to live that out in front of our kids. Be transparent, be honest, but always be seeking Him. And He'll never let us down. And if we believe that, and if we live that, our kids will grow up in an environment where they see that to be real and true. And when they're not under our home anymore and something bad happens, which is going to happen to some of them, they'll know exactly where to turn because mom and dad have been turning there all these years.
Yes.
Now, I know this doesn't relate to Master Club so much, but I couldn't get peace about not talking to the teenagers. Just because I wish somebody would have talked to me when I was a teenager. You know, you look through history. All of history can be summed up based on how people respond to God's Word. This book controls the destinies of nations, churches, families, and every single person sitting in here. God says it. I believe it is all that faith demands, right? That's the song the kids sing. We used to sing it when we were little. Your life, young people, is being shaped today, every day, by the decisions that you make that can all be broken down and summed up in a response in one way or another to something God says.
Yeah.
You have to make a decision every day, essentially, is God trustworthy?
Yeah.
Do you believe that God has your best in mind? You know, we tell our kids when they're little, don't play in the street. You know, you've all heard this example. They don't know about cars and what the bad things that can happen to them, but we do. And when they're little, they just trust us. They don't play in the street. They don't understand it. They don't like it, but they don't do it because they trust us. I use the example sometimes of leprosy in the Bible. You know, that God told them when there was leprosy in a house to tear the house down. They didn't understand infectious diseases back then. That was completely crazy to them. But if they didn't obey, there were serious consequences there. Leprosy was an incurable disease that had very, very terrible outcomes. But even though they couldn't see it, just like our kids don't understand not playing in the street, they had to make a decision. Is God telling me to do this because He loves me and He's trying to protect me from something that maybe I can't see or understand?
Amen.
And as young people, there are things that you can't see or understand. And sometimes it may feel like God's trying to spoil your fun or mom and dad are trying to spoil your fun. But it really comes down to, is God trustworthy? You know, all sin is essentially summed up in believing God or not. God says, do this, don't do that. And we make our decision. Are we going to obey Him or are we going to go our own way? And the decisions that you are making today are shaping your life in a way that you won't fully understand until you're older. Now, if I were to ask the adults in here for a show of hands, who wishes they would have gotten hold of trusting God with everything at an earlier age, it would be a sea of hands in here.
Yes.
Because we've all done things, I know I did, that I took into my adult life. The flesh gives you enough trouble without you giving it, adding fuel to the fire. Your marriage is going to be affected by the decisions that you are making right now today. Your parenting, your walk with Him, everything is affected by the decisions that you make based on this book. Do you believe what God says is for your good? And I just encourage you as young people, look, if any of you ever want to sit down with me, I can tell you some horror stories of things that I deal with today as a result of decisions that I made as a young person. It's not as easy. God has been gracious to me. And my life is better than I could have imagined it to be. But I wish somebody would have stood up and told me as a teenager, as a young man, that the decisions that I was making back then were going to affect me for the rest of my life. And I just prayerfully ask, you know, Paul said, we beseech you, be reconciled to the Lord. I beseech you as your elder. And most of you do, right? We got great kids in here. We've got great families, great parents. I don't want to come across the wrong way, but I beg you. Yeah. Trust God with your decisions. Trust God with your relationships. Trust God with the right one coming along one day. Don't be hasty. Prayerfully ask God to bring your life into fruition, and He will in His timing. Yeah. Trust Him with all of your decisions, and He'll never let you down. You know, when you boil it all down, life is best lived in the care of your Creator. We all come with an instruction manual. It's His Word. And if we trust Him and we walk with Him and we give Him our whole life, we commit our ways unto the Lord, you will have, Jesus said, I came that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. God wants you to have an abundant life, and you'll only have it His way. The decisions that we make on a day-to-day basis, even today as older people, it doesn't just apply to young people. God has our best in mind. We just have to come to a place where we trust Him, and I just ask that you would do that. You know, so in summary, you know, I was reminded of the verse, Solomon, Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Jesus summed up the law in two sentences, right? Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. You know, it takes work, like anything else. Any relationship takes work. Young people, you have the tools at your disposal with your curriculum, with your parents, with your church, with your Sunday school. Take advantage of it while you're still young to learn to love God and trust Him. You know, you that are older, you know, you've got the foundation laid. Now it's time to step out from under your family's shadow and have your own relationship with God. It has to be real to you, yeah. Right? Mom and Dad aren't going to bring you to church forever. They're not going to make you love God. It's a decision that you have to make. And it'll pay dividends for the rest of your life. And for us parents, it's the same thing. Is Christ real to you? That's really the question, right? Is it something that we just do? Or is He somebody that we know and love and we come to know? You know, we're going through Galatians in our Sunday school class, and one of the verses that we talk about is Paul in Galatians 2. He said, Christ loved me and gave Himself for me, right? It's very personal. It's easy to say God so loved the world, but it's much more personal when you walk with Him and you get to know Him and you realize that God really does love you individually. Yes, and He wants to know you individually. He wants your heart individually. And He really does have your best in mind. And so we just have to make a decision to trust Him. And so as families, I hope we continue to encourage our kids to walk with Him, that we are diligent about the time we spend with them on their Master Club. I know it's hard work, but I just ask that you continue to put the work in, because it's the only thing that we do during the week, not just Master Club. I just mean discipling our kids that's going to last for an eternity. And one day we're going to see, you're going to look back, you know, and you're going to see God's hand in their life. Yes. And you're going to be so thankful for the things that you sacrificed to make time for that discipleship. Thank you for your time.